Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Pull out your Bibles. If you have a physical Bible with you, hold it up. If you have a phone with a Bible app, go ahead and hold that up. If you don't have the Bible app on your phone, go ahead and take this time to download it, because then by the time we're done with this, you'll be able to follow along. Sound good? Okay. Everyone repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the very Word of God. Every word in this is true.
Every word is true.
Inside this book is the very direction of my life.
Inside this book is the very direction of my life.
And I choose to follow it.
And I choose to follow it.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
And I love it.
And I love it.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 1. When Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about Jesus, he said to his advisors, "This must be John the Baptist, raised from the dead. That's why he can do such miracles." For Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother Philip. Messy. If you guys think that the Bible isn't full of drama and scandals, you're wrong. It's messy in here. John had been telling Herod, it's against the law for you to marry her. Herod didn't like that, and he wanted to kill John. But he was afraid of a riot because all the people believed John was a prophet. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. So he promised with a vow to give her anything she wanted. At her mother's urging, the girl says, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray." Messy. I'm telling you, messy. Then the king regretted what he had said. But because of the vow he had made in front of his guests, he issued the necessary orders. So John was beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. Okay. So, John the Baptist, that was the backstory, right? That's the backstory leading up into the second half of this passage. So, John the Baptist had a job. From the time he was conceived, he had a job to carry out, and that was to prepare the way for Jesus. He was going to tell people about Jesus, tell people that Jesus was coming, and usher in an anticipation for the coming Messiah. And he was also blood family with Jesus, right? And they knew each other and they loved each other. And so what's happening in this passage is that John was just killed and Jesus is now finding out for the first time. Okay? Let's keep reading. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Can you feel that? I can feel it. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go back to their villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples and distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. Well, he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell, and he was there alone. Here in verses 13 and 14, and then also in 23 and 24, 22 and 23, we're introduced to this tension, right? The tension of, I'm sad, I need to process, I have really big feelings, and I'm really tired, and I need to be alone with my father, paired with the tension of, look at these people, these sheep that God has put under my care with an order to minister to them. Do you feel it? Do you feel that tension that exists? That's the tension that we're going to be diving into in this sermon series. And here's what God is showing me through this tension, is that when we find the most resistance is when we take a portion and we say, okay, God, here's your piece of my life, right? And here's my piece of my life. And we're going to be in tension, right? Like, God, you can have your piece and I can have my piece. And here we're gonna go back and forth. That's not what Jesus demonstrated in this passage. Right. What Jesus demonstrated in this passage was, God, here is my entire life. Yeah. Yeah. You get it all. Yeah. And I'm going to listen to your voice on how I'm supposed to handle this moment. Right. I'm not going to worry about the moments to come, but I'm going to sit, and I'm going to sit in the tension, and I'm going to listen to you, Holy Spirit, for what you might have to say. Jesus' whole life, right? Because if you notice in these verses, what does it say that he went alone to do? To pray. He wasn't like, okay, God, here's the thing. I'm feeling my feelings, and I'm in a moment, and I think I want to go binge watch Netflix, and I just need my time and space. That's not what he said. He was like, I know what I need because I have limits, because limits are real, right? I recognize that my human emotion is telling me that I need a break. And I also recognize, God, that you are the God of my emotion, that you are the God of my feelings, that you're the God of my heartbreak, and I just need some time with you. Listening to the Holy Spirit gives you that wisdom. It gives you the wisdom to be able to say, because your fleshly body says, go lay in bed and come out in a few days. Wow. Your fleshly body tells you to scroll until your brain doesn't feel anymore. Wow. Right? But the Holy Spirit says, get away with your father. Wow. Lean on him, and he will empower you to keep going. Wow, wow, wow. And you might be like, but Pastor Cherie, he didn't even get to do that. Not at first. Because when you give Jesus your entire yes,
yeah, that's right.
When you say, my whole life is yours, then your only job is to listen to Holy Spirit. Your only job is to listen for his voice and say, okay, Holy Spirit, now what? So Jesus, in the moment, was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I recognize that I'm hitting my limit here. I recognize that I am feeling all of the feels, and I know what I need. And then he took one step out of the boat, and he went, okay, Holy Spirit, now what? Because he saw this huge crowd of people around him, and what does it say he did? Had compassion on them. Did you know Holy Spirit is 100% compassion? And so in that moment, he stepped out of the boat and he said, okay, Holy Spirit, now what? And he taught them and he cared for them and he ministered to them. And does that mean that he stopped feeling the feels? No. Does it mean that everything was magically better? No, because what did he have to do after? Verse 23, what does it say? After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. After he ministered to the people, it was, okay, Holy Spirit, now what? And then he was able to step into the rest, right? Because just because he was Jesus doesn't mean that he didn't have limits. And it also means that Jesus wasn't in charge of keeping perfect balance in his life, right? That's a lie from the enemy that we often believe, is this lie that like we need to have everything balancing. And I think of like that circus act where there's like sticks spinning and like all these plates going, right? And your job is to keep them all up, and they have to stay perfectly balanced on that stick, or else one's gonna fall off. That's not your job. Your job is to say, here's my whole life. Okay, Holy Spirit, what's next? Tension is gonna exist. Two things can exist at the same time. Jesus was able to be at the same time brokenhearted and also obedient to God's voice. Sad and ministering. That's the tension that's able to form from a surrendered life. Balance tries to form out of us doing it on our own. Tension exists in a surrendered life. And I think there's a call today. I think that there's a call to address the tension of your life. Is your life surrendered? Or is God one of the spinning plates that you're trying to keep up? I'm gonna spin this God plate because I went to life group on Tuesday. But then I also have this plate that's sports, and this plate that's work, and this plate that's my family, and this plate that's my marriage, and this plate that's my, and. Oh, my God plate just dropped. Tension. Looks like, God, here's my whole life. What's next, Holy Spirit? Will you stand with me? And media team, if you guys could put on some instrumentals. There's an invitation on the table today. And the invitation is this. Are you ready to give your whole life surrendered to God? And there's a spectrum, right? There's the person in here today that's like, I don't even have a God plate. If I'm honest, I don't even have a God plate. And then there's another side of the spectrum that's in here today that's like, yeah, I've been trying to do it my very best on my own. And I'm failing. The other side of the spectrum admits that their whole life isn't surrendered to God. That they've given him pieces, but maybe there's something that they're holding back. I want you to take just a moment, and if you will, close your eyes. And if you'll just ask Jesus this question. Jesus, is there part of me that's not surrendered to you? And here's the response that Jesus is asking for this morning. As he reveals to you that answer, if there's a part of you that's not surrendered to him, will you just make a really bold step to the front? And what you're doing is you're being honest And also, you're surrendering it to him. You're bringing it to him. You could even bring it with open hands if you want to, as a way of saying, Jesus, this is yours. This area of my life, maybe my whole life, is yours. I'm going to give time and I'm going to give space because I think there's more. Full surrender looks like my whole life is yours. And listen, guys, I'm down here with you. I'm down here saying, God, search me. My whole life is yours. Show me the corners that aren't surrendered to you. I want the chance to give those to you again. Now is your response time. And maybe your response is giving your life to Jesus. Do that. Say, God, my whole life is yours. Forgive me. Yeah. Maybe your response is like, here's a corner of my heart that's not surrendered to you. But you're going to do it. And listen, as Holy Spirit moves in this place, you're going to listen to Holy Spirit's voice. And if that brings you to tears, that's okay. And if it's bringing up something inside of you, you're just going to let that come. As Holy Spirit's wanting to move. Holy Spirit, you are in this place. Will you move? Will you stir up? Will you give us more of you? We just want to experience more of you. Holy Spirit, more of you. In your own words, I want you to give those things to Jesus. God's still working. If you're on our prayer team, will you just make your way? If you're responding, please don't stop responding, even if you're on the prayer team. If you're on the prayer team, will you just make your way and start praying for people? We're praying for Holy Spirit to encounter people. We're praying for Holy Spirit to run through this place, to change our hearts, to change our lives. God, we surrender all that we are to you. God, we give you everything, every part of us, every dark corner, every piece that we've held on to for security, God, for protection, God, for out of fear, those pieces that we're like not quite able to hand over to you. God, we give those to you today. God, will you change hearts? God, will you move in minds? God, will you show up in a way that only you can show up? God, will you, God, I pray that the encounter that people experience today changes their life forever. Holy Spirit, we invite you in. Holy Spirit, we give you full reign. Whatever you want to do, however you want to show up, we want more of you. More of you, God, we pray. Jesus, we welcome you into this place. Oh, holy Jesus, it's all yours. God, I thank you for words of knowledge that you're speaking to people right now. God, I thank you for the way that you're shaping hearts and minds right now. God, I thank you for the way that you're speaking identity right now. God, I thank you for the way that you love us and you care for us.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our lives. Will you please show us, okay, what's next? What's next, Holy Spirit? God, I thank you for the mind that you're knitting back together right now. The mind that was woven together in his mother's womb, that you're putting back together. God, I thank you for healing, for restoring. The thoughts that have held you captive don't have chains on you anymore. Today, I declare that you are free. Today, I declare that a sound mind, a mind that is obedient to the Father, a mind that sees with the Father's eyes, a mind that speaks with the Father's mouth, a heart that's attuned to the identity that the Father God says about you.
God was really speaking to me about, even during worship today, is about chains. And that sometimes we can believe the lie that once we accept Christ, once we make that decision, like, God, all I have is yours, I'm going to follow you, that means like we can't be bound by chains any longer. And that's a lie. Because, like, I walked through the first whole entire half of my Christian walk, my faith walk with Jesus, completely bound in chains. And here's what God was just showing me today, is that some of you are bound in these chains, whatever that looks like: control, anxiety, fear, depression, addiction, all kinds of different addictions, pornography, sexual misuse. Like, there's all of these things, and you're feeling like, I don't even know what that looks like. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, what does today's surrender look like? What does today's surrender look like? His plan is not to overwhelm us with everything. Like, you have all of this stuff on all of these links before you're ready. Because believe me, he used me completely bound up. Okay? So he can use you. He loves you. But he wants you to be free. So what does today's surrender look like? One surrender at a time.
So Jesus, we give you our surrender. We give you our whole life, trusting that you're going to keep our life in tension. Trusting that you know what's best. And as we say yes to you, Holy Spirit, that everything is going to fit. God, I pray against the lie that says, if I give this up, everything's going to fall to pieces. Today, faith looks like, I trust you, Jesus. I trust that you have a better plan than I do, that you can hold it better than I do. The truth is, his capacity is far more than yours. So Jesus, we trust you. We surrender our whole life to you. And we trust you, Holy Spirit, to tell us what's next. In Jesus' name.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.